Hey guys, this is Ashe Tuamadu from 13 Degrees of Gold. I wanted to let you guys know you can all help support the Unconditional Love Movement by purchasing some merch out of my brand new store. You can reach me at shop.spreadshirt.com/13degrees of gold. Guys, we have t-shirts, we have hoodies, we have mugs, water bottles, travel cups, phone cases, dog wear. We have it all. Go and shop today and support my cause now. All I see is pages out my window. Hey, 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 welcome to 13 Degrees of Gold. I'm your host, Ashe Tuamadu. And you guys, I'm so excited today. I have one of my best friends in the world on the show today. His name is Kojak Charles. He is a multi-platinum producer. He has over 5 million albums that feature his production work sold. Kojak has already firmly established himself as a hit-making producer with an uncanny ability to spot and realize artists. Over the course of his still-rising career, from Martinville, Louisiana to Houston, by way of South Central Los Angeles native, has produced tracks for Lil Flip, Paul Wall, and Mike Jones. Kojak has grown as a high-profile producer. Kojak, are you there?
I am here.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great, 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 great. How about yourself?
I'm doing awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I wanted to bring you on so we can tell people about the law of attraction and how it has worked in your life, because clearly it is phenomenally worked for you.
Yeah, it's all about focus and meditation and keeping positive energy around you, and whatever you think about, the universe will give back to you.
Right, right. And I can say from day one since I met you, you have thought about music every day of your life.
Every single second.
Since I met you, that's like your dominant focus. You don't think about anything else. You're just like,
if it's not about music and uplifting and bringing people together through music, I don't want to have nothing to do with it.
Right, right. So that unshattering focus is the key. Just always staying, keep your eye on the prize.
Always.
Yes. So, guys, I want to tell you how I met Kojak. Because it's so amazing, the story. I still do music, but I was really into my music at one point. Some of you guys know I'm a rapper. And I'm a writer. I write all genres. And I was at, any of my Houston listeners, I was at Chuck Way Studio, Chuck Way from Boss Hog. And I was in there putting down a verse. And I come out the studio, and there's this funny black man sitting there. And he's like, "Who are you?" And the rest.
I said, "Who was that?"
Why did you say who was that, Kojak? What happened at the studio?
Because I'm listening to a female artist with a delivery, just impeccable delivery, and just was killing these guys on his song. And I'm like, why y'all not pushing her?
Yes, yes, it's so amazing. I'm thinking maybe that wasn't my divine timing, you know?
I guess that was meant to happen the way it happened, because it brought us closer and we mixed it up and made some great music at the time. We was making great music, but it's more the friendship and the bond and connection we have through music. And then we got on the spiritual stuff, and it was like, hey, you know when you got good people around you.
Right, right. Because, you know, I'm all into the feels and the energy and the spirit. That's my lane right there. But Yes, guys, be expecting something from me and Kojak. I'm getting into my roots. My dad is from Nigeria. So I'm going to make some Afrobeat music mixed with a little reggae. You know, I'm going to hook it up for the Africans one time.
You must.
And Kojak's going to produce those tracks for me. So y'all be on the lookout for that. But I want to take you guys down memory lane. I want to tell you guys who Kojak is, where he's from, the type of life he lived, and how he got to where he is now in his career. Well, Kojak, can you tell us like a brief list of all the artists you have worked with so the listeners know how big of a deal you are?
Well, it all started when I moved from L.A., moved to a country town. And from there, I've been for making records. Then a guy named Dewey Farker, the one that discovered me and moved me to Houston. Dewey Farker is like Jay Prince's right-hand man. Like, his mom stayed next door to his mom. So it's like, that's how close of a connection he is to Rap-A-Lot. But to make a long story short, I moved to Houston. And I just started producing everybody. I went on tour with the Fifth Ward Boys and started doing, you know, work with Scarface and Ghetto Boys and Mike Dean and the whole mixture of the Rap-A-Lot thing. I think that was my little education of the music industry, per se. Learning how to move in the music industry, knowing how to stand on your own, and it taught me how to feel people out, how to spot the BS of the music industry. That was the learning lessons. But working with UPT and working with the Ghetto Boys and Fifth Ward Boys and working with all the Houston rap artists that was out in the early 2000s and like throughout the 2000s all the way up to per se now, I produced at least everybody except for Slim Thug and Chamillionaire. But everybody else, when it came to the Houston legends, I produced all of them.
Yes. Oh,
everybody. So I have records on everybody. The first ABN album I produced, and it was reproduced by Mr. Lee. He went back and all the records were samples, and they didn't want to clear the samples, so he redid all the Can You Stand the Rain and all these other records that was done on that ABN album. So shout out to Mr. Lee on that. Learned a lot from Lee and Leroy and N.O. Joe and all the producers that was at Rap-A-Lot, because I was the young one. I was the little boy around. So I started off, you know.
You were like 18, right?
Yeah, I was like 18, 19 years old. No, I was a little older than 19. I was in my early 20s.
Okay.
You know, but my first hit was when I was around that age, when I got out of college. Basically, okay. My first hit record was the Lil Flip, This Is The Way We Ball. And then from that, I came to Houston, then the Paul Wall record, the Mike Jones record. Then I did Big Mo whole last CD. Before he died, I was producing Big Mo. And then when he passed, I direct commissioned me, and I did the whole album. His mom was on the side of me. I did the whole Unfinished Business. And the resurgence of Big Mo, they just dropped a new single on him. So that's, you know, just keeping that person vibe alive in Houston. Wow. That was a distinctive Houston sound. So a part of the Houston's history, my sound was one of the foundation sounds of Houston hip-hop in the early 2000s on till, you know, the other new guys started flourishing around the city. But I was one of the go-to guys when it came to Houston music. When everybody had hit records, I was on every album, except for, you know, the two artists that I spoke about. But anybody that had hits that had sold platinum, yeah, I had production. It's not singles, second singles, third singles. You know, I had records on all of them.
Right. So you're like one of the trailblazers, because right now, people are like right now I moved to Alabama and people rave about Houston artists. Like, Houston is a whole vibe. Houston is like a movement. We're like in our own country.
You have to understand Houston sound. You hear the Houston sound in everybody's music. You hear that Houston sound.
Right.
You hear that when it comes to chop and screw music, you know, T-Pain came down here and he made a song called Chop and Screw, you know.
Right.
So it's a lot of artists that comes to Houston to get the swag, just to get that the drink the era, sauce. You know.
They want that sauce.
Yeah, they want the juice. They want the sauce and the juice, and they want that because there's no place. I've been all around this country, and Houston is just like Louisiana. It's its own entity. Houston is its own thing, own sound, own swag, and it engulfs you, just like Louisiana culture engulfs you. It's just like you get that, and you don't get it nowhere else but there. So anybody else it's a remix, but it's a good remix,
right?
But it's nothing like being in Houston, so laid back, open arm. Arms to everybody, just and it's the fourth largest city in the world, so why not? It's a lot of guys out here that became millionaires just in Houston. They don't have to sell records nowhere else in the world. They just pop in here and they'll sell a million records. That's why they're considered legends, because a lot of these guys have paved the way for a lot of these young artists to do what they're doing today. The Travis Scotts, the Sauce Walkers, the Kurt Cobains, the OTB Fast Lanes, all these new cats that's coming out, that's popping out, that's making millions of records. You know, if it wasn't of the Slim Thugs, the Mike Jones, the Paul Walls,
right.
The Slim Thugs, the Flips, the Zeros, the Pokey, the Big Mo, all these SUC, Lil O, all these guys that was paving the way for these young guys. You know, I had a lot to do with the sound of Swisher House, the sound of Rec Shop with No D, towards the end, not when they was really hot, when they was making Dirty Third. I'm just glad that legends looked at me and say, hey, he got right. The sound that we want.
Right.
And gave me a chance. Like, they really gave me a chance. Chance. If it wasn't for T. Ferris, I wouldn't have never been on Mike Jones' project.
Right.
All the Day Hell Broke Loose 2 and all these different projects that I was on, T. Ferris orchestrated that. And like Red Boy orchestrated the T-Pain and Mike Jones Scandalous Hoes 2. If it wasn't for, you know, it ain't me, it's the music, but it's the people that had the faith in the songs that I was submitting, the tracks that I was submitting,
right,
that made these projects what they was. And
right.
And created that moment.
But I can see definitely how you got all this, you know. It's like how you got all these accolades and how you got people to pay attention to you, because I've sat with you in the studio firsthand and we've done nothing but talk, and I've seen you crank out beat after beat after beat. You are the most dedicated one of the most dedicated producers I've met, and you're so brilliant when it comes to music. Like, even whenever I was going to school at Media Tech for audio recording, you was helping me with my homework.
See, the thing is, I came up in a band background. You know,
right.
I marched in band since junior high school all the way to the collegiate level. And if it wasn't right. for my band director, and I got to give these guys a shout out, from my junior high band director, Mr. Warren Milson, and then from my high school band director, Mr. Walter Perry. He played for Cameo, and he was my next door neighbor. And from there, I was under Dr. Isaac Griggs, Mr. Jackson, and rest in peace, Carnell Knighton. But if it wasn't for those guys that gave me that music foundation, because they never wanted me to play drums. They always wanted me to play instruments, because they could say anybody could play a drum, beat a drum. So, you know, be a masterful person on your instrument and respect the music, and then focus and be dedicated and be prepared, so you don't have to be prepared when it comes time for you to get the chance. So if it wasn't for those guys at Southern University that really gave me that that real to just strive for excellence and always try to outdo your last what you done, and it's like, man, that just instilled in me just to keep pushing. Well, everybody got their turn,
right? And that's so amazing. Like, I get chills every time we talk. Like, I love you, friend. But like, that brings me to my next thing. Like, you met Prince in a studio, and he recognized
that was
your
in
music.
New York. That was
right.
Tell us
about that.
We was at Sony. Britney Spears was in one of the rooms. I was next to the room with Britney Spears, and he was in another room. And he had a big Samoan guy said that, you know, he liked what we hearing. I'm like, him who? So I got to go around and walked in, and it was him. And that's the first time I ever got froze of seeing somebody. Like, froze.
Right.
And he was like, the same thing my band director used to say, you know, that popcorn music is going, you know, is nothing new under the sun. It's nothing, you can't create nothing new. So just like Pimp C told me, the same thing that he told me, and it was like, hey, respect the music, just respect the music and learn.
Right.
You know, an instrument, you have longevity than the most people that just playing with the music and not respecting it. So by that kind of gave me more gas for the engine to be like, man, this dude doing a door away.
Right.
And the thing about it is, you know, if it wasn't for Sam Jameson and being in that scene, that building these relationships with people that put you places that you know you can't get yourself. So we could have mixed and mastered anywhere by Mike Moe or anybody, Mike Dean, because I had access to all these people. But he said, nah, we going to fly y'all to New York and y'all going to mix and master. Y'all going to master y'all CD at Sony Records. And that's what we did.
Yeah. That's so amazing. I love Prince. How was the energy being in a room with him?
Man, you know, when you're in a room, it was like, you know, you can feel, you know, you didn't wait until when you crossed the door, you already knew you was by something bigger than life.
Greatness. You could feel it over the threshold.
It was the same feeling, the BS you not, it was the same feeling when I saw DMX at Hippie House. Well, it was not Hippie House. It was Takeover Studio, but it was Ronnie Bookman's studio a long time ago. When I saw Mariah Carey in there, when I saw R. Kelly in there, it's that same feeling. So you know when you get around these type of people, you know, when you're around Swiss Beats and Toomp and Kanye, other relationship through Joe Trax, that meeting these type of people that he knew, and you walk in the room and you just feel that energy they give off is like, that's somebody. And you like, that's what that you can't remake that. It's like when you walk in the room and all the gravitational energy goes to that person, you know by they touched by a greater spirit, by a greater thing.
Right.
Because you could feel it. It's like it makes your hair on your arm just rise. Like, damn.
Right.
So you just become a student and learn from that.
Right. And that's what I've always loved about the music industry, walking into studios and feeling that energy. Now, I've never been in a room with, like, Prince or Mariah Carey, but even being in a room with you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you are phenomenal. Being in a room with different producers, just from being in a room with Swift and different people around Houston. Like, it's just like this. I know exactly what you're talking about, because I'm all into the feels. I'm all into the spirit.
You can tell.
Right.
Some people on a lower vibration, some people on a midterm vibration, some people on a high vibration. I remember I did a music industry winter festival we did in Miami. And Puffy did the thing. So I'm out there. Puffy got a diamond encrusted megaphone. He on top of the bar. And it's like the energy that the dude give off is just ridiculous. Like, everybody was focused on him. Like, he demanded that energy to boost him up to make the party even jump even more. So I seen how, you know, how he worked. And I remember at the Source Awards, I was me and Russell Simmons just chopping it up. And I'm like, he just so approachable. Like, damn.
Right. Ooh, I'm feeling the energy right now just from you dropping names and talking about your experience.
And I'm not the name dropping type, But I got to let the people know the type of folks that I've been around to give right. off and just to give the wisdom of what they told me, give the nuggets that I got from each person. Each person right. I got a nugget from, and to just cultivate all that energy from these people and be like, oh, okay. See, now I see how it works. Because that community is so small. People think right. the music industry is big, but it's so small.
Right, right. And you got signed to Sony like in 2002, right?
2002, I had my little situation with Sony.
Okay.
So with the
okay.
Joker Man project, how I got to go to Sony, I was already affiliated with Sony. That's how we got in good to get the mastering done. But I got the Atlantic plug through G-Dash and Michael Watts. Because they will see okay. Joker was supposed to come out before Paul Wall.
Okay.
Joker, we were supposed to do an imprint deal with Swisher House, but my CEO didn't want to do that. We didn't spend $1 million on Joker to get him to the point where, okay, the music festival, the Coachellas, all these different places that we was promoting and getting where he need to get.
Right.
That's when Atlantic was like, okay, well, let's just do an imprint deal with the Swisher House because they was hot at the time. Mike Jones just sold 3 million records out the gate. So Paul Wall was up next, and he had pre-sales out the roof, 1 million records. So Joker was supposed to come out because he had a hotter song than Paul Wall at the time. Joker had no radio play in Houston, but he had all the clubs on lock. And he had right. Memphis, he had Louisiana. So he had multiple markets where the song was bubbling.
Right.
So the pace and the different entities that we put in place promoting with Hi-C, MC Quay, and all the different people that was involved with pushing that record to where we needed to be at to get the attention.
Right.
Swisher House was supposed to do the imprint deal, but my CEO didn't want to do it, so that's why the deal went bust.
Right, right, right. But just the experience of working with Sony, working with Atlantic, I know we talked about stories where you were staying in the 112 in Atlanta, like door-to-door with all
the artists. I'm at the 12 in Atlanta. Steve Harvey, my next-door neighbor, Tyler Perry stayed down the hall on the 10th floor. Scrappy, everybody, Young Dro and T.I., everybody, Akon, little brother, everybody stays in the building, Sierra. You know, and I'm hobnobbing, I'm eating breakfast downstairs, and we just sitting down running it and talking and piling. But it's all about relationships. I remember, people won't believe this, but I guarantee you, I have facts that NeNe Leakes.
Wow. At
the 12.
Wow.
At the 12. And I put that on my life.
Right.
These people that's on TV right now, and you look at them being millionaires and millionaires, I remember when they was broke.
Right, right. And that's so amazing just talking about the law of attraction, because you see it happen from ground zero until where they are now. And even in your own story, you just being immersed in, did you know when you were in middle school playing these instruments, did you know you would be where you are today?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I knew because I was striving. I always knew because always when I found music, I didn't want to do nothing else.
Right.
When right. I found music, I knew that was my calling. I knew I was good at it. And I knew I didn't want to do nothing else on no planet but that.
Right. Tell us some of the visions that you had, like as a little boy or in high school or even in college.
So basically, when I was in LA, when I was coming up in California, Dr. Dre was the DJ. And they say he's producing a DJ, so that's what I want to be. I seen how people gravitated towards him in the park when he was doing DJs and stuff. So I'm like, man, that's what I want to be. And this is a young boy. This is 12, 13 years old. That's about 9 to 10 up.
Right.
I knew that I'm thinking I want to be what Dr. Dre was. And at the time, he was a DJ. But right. I wanted that part of it. But when they start saying he's a producer, then my uncle starts showing me records and stuff. And then World Crash Wrecking Crew, and then I start saying, oh, he did the beats behind this. So I start exploring the beat side of it.
Right.
I never had the equipment to do it, So what I've done, when I moved from California, my mom got hit, so I moved to New Orleans.
Right.
So when I moved to New Orleans, that's the capital of marching bands. And I had six other brothers that played instruments.
Right.
So I started playing trombone, trumpet, baritone. I started picking up all the instruments.
Right.
Till it's the point where I was getting beat up by my brothers for playing their horns.
Oh my God. Don't touch the instrument.
So I started playing horns. So when I was in the band, I was always good at it because I got a good ear. I picked it up. But when I started reading music and my director noticed, hey, he can read treble clef and bass clef music. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
So then I started getting mentored. I started getting mentored by my band directors. So when the band director started mentoring, it didn't come to high school when I started playing, tinkling with a piano. My band director always did tell me, get off that damn piano. Get off that piano. Get off that piano. Because he wanted me on the horn.
Right.
So he played for Cameo, and he said, well, if you really want to do this, come by the house. So he started sequencing on a keyboard.
Right.
I think it was a Roland XP80 and a JP something. He had two keyboards. So when I got finished with high school, I was already doing little beats here and there. But when I got to college, and my roommate, he had the boards and everything because his daddy came from a band.
Right.
So he was already doing beats and writing songs and doing all that. So I just got up under him. And then David Banner was he came out for the band, but he didn't make it. But he became the SGA president. So I'm doing beats in on the fourth floor. David Banner coming down there. Lavelle Crump. Anybody could tell you he was SGA president in 94. Anybody could tell you that. He tried out for the band and left the band and he was already rapping already.
Right. This is so amazing because I'm just listening to your chronological events and it's like all you knew is what you wanted to do. And then by you being open and willing to dedicate yourself to your craft, it's like
you are divinely
you just
the same energy.
Everything in, like, how ironic that next door neighbor played for Cameo. Shout out to Cameo, love that group. How ironic that you in a dorm room with somebody who daddy played in a band and you got access to learn the equipment. You are like a musical genius. Like, It's so amazing. You just get focused on what you want. Decide what you want. Find out your why and stick to it. And everything else will happen.
When it's not going to happen when you want it. It's going to happen when it's supposed to happen.
Right.
So as long as you keep your spirit righteous and you stay focused, and that's the main thing. Stay focused on what you want to do and you just do it. It's going to happen. Everybody has a turn.
Right.
Whatever energy you put in it, you're going to get the same energy out of it that what you put in.
Right. Definitely. And I know you've even told me about talks that you've had with Pimp C and him just dropping nuggets. Pimp C is so, a lot of people give Pimp C credit, especially from like the South. But I just feel like Pimp C was so underrated in general. He is a
man. That dude, like I said, the energy. That dude had, like, it, you knew. But see, dealing with Chad, you dealt with three different people.
Right.
That was the only person on the planet I knew like that.
That's
the only person on the planet that was three different people you dealt with. It's just the day he who he felt like he was.
Right.
But when I tell you, musical person, this man say Jack ain't nothing new. The same thing these other people say is the same stuff. So it's like you can't reinvent the wheel. You got the same notes on the keyboard. It's no different new notes.
Right.
You're not making a new note.
Right. So let me ask you a question. All these people who you mentioned and who have this energy you're talking about, would you say that they all are the same consciousness? They all have the same type of consciousness running through them.
Yeah.
That's what I'm feeling from when you talk about it.
Yeah.
It's like
everybody, if you in this music, everybody have the same thing, that it factor.
Yeah.
All got it. You can feel it. And as soon as they come out, the words, it's like it's crazy how everybody's connected in some term of form of fashion. Cause right. what I got from Pimp C, what I got from Chad, what I got from Sweet Jones, all the things that he said, and he told me straight up what Dr. Dre told him. Now, mind you, I never met Dr. Dre yet, but I'm so close to his camp, it's ridiculous. So right. he was telling me how I was to his house 2 weeks before he died. Before he died, I was to his house 2 weeks before he passed. I was to his home, and he was like, he had a whole B3 organ in the bedroom next to the bathroom. A whole B3 organ. And mm-hmm. he told me, you know how to make your kick sound good? Take the mid-range out of it. Put a 909 kick on top of it, Jack. Stack that.
And you've been doing that shit.
And I've been doing that ever since.
Hey, I'm telling you, when you start playing beats for me, I was like, who is this dude? Hold on, wait, because Kojak, you know, when I met you, this was like, what, 2017? When I met you, I was just like starting to take my music seriously, and I started coming out, and I didn't really know a lot of history about a lot. I just knew like mainly mainstream and like Houston legends and stuff, but I didn't know anything about the music aspect of it. Like, the behind the scenes and the instruments and the producers. I wasn't really on that. You know what I'm saying?
Man,
I just knew.
You got to understand, it's a lot of people that's not given credit to pave the Houston sound, like the N.O. Joes, the Mr. Lees, the Leroys, the Grizz. It's so many dudes that put out the Note D's. You got a lot of cats that put out masterful music and don't get the credit for it.
Right.
There's a lot of dope old schools that I can sit back and just watch. I'm still a student. As successful as I am in the music industry, I'm still a student.
Every teacher, every good teacher, every great man is always a student.
I'm still a student. I could sit up under any producer and learn something or teach a young producer how to make his sound better. That's the thing a lot of people is missing with this new genre of tracks that people are doing or beats that you want to call it. A lot of these dudes, they make it so easy to make music that they took all the musicianship out of it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
It's so easy to buy a loop. It's easy to buy a loop and drag and drop, and that's it.
Right. And I'll say, because I, you know, when I went to Media Tech, that's primarily what a lot of dudes were doing. But, like, I'll say this, like, when I met you and I came out the studio and you was like, oh, we got to work together, and you start playing beats for me. I'm talking about immediately. When we left the studio, because I didn't know who you were. I knew you were somebody great, and I'm listening to this music you playing for me, and I'm like, this is some real music. I'm like, this man used instruments to make this music. As soon as we left the studio, I went home and I researched you. I looked you up on every platform I could find you on, and I was like, oh my God, I'm sitting in a room with the Holy Grail. I had no idea because, like you said, people don't get the recognition for putting the music out and for making these artists or assisting the artists to being who they are. But just from listening to your music, I knew that you were something great, somebody of stature, because the music sounded completely different from what I was doing in the classroom at school.
I know how to put it together, and I figured. I'm not the greatest musician, but I know how to put it together. I know enharmonic tones. I know how to create something that gives you that moment and that feeling.
Right.
That's my niche, and I know I have another gift to find it. That'd be like, oh, right. They somebody. Because I come across hundreds of rappers, thousands of rappers that can rap, sing, but they don't know how to make a song.
Right.
They don't know how to create a moment.
Right.
They're recreating what they're hearing on the radio, and they're not creating a moment. They're not creating a sound.
Right.
Because the industry is so watered down copycat to that's why the Kendricks stand out. That's why the Jay out because they're in their own lane.
Right. And that's where I am in my music. I kind of slowed down on it and I just shifted gears to life coaching and transformational speaking because I have a message and I have a voice, I have a gift, but I haven't really found what's my lane. I know we did that reggae joint. And you was like, this is your lane right here. This is your lane. So I want to dabble in that Afro beat with you. But I know I got something. I just don't know where it goes yet. Where I fit in.
Well, that's the whole key about it is defining your lane. See, a lot of people look at B-King because he do the little popcorn music he do. He found his lane to do what he does to make money to feed his family. I understand that. But at least I know for a fact that he respects the music. He may be doing the type of style of music he do, but he can also rap. He also have bars. But he found his lane and he's the only one in that lane. That's why it's working.
Right.
You see, you got to just look at it. Whoever's the first to do it or create it, that's who makes the most money. The Migos, they created that style, that cadence. They ran with it. Now, everybody in the industry is following that same cadence. So why is everybody not as successful as the Migos? Because you're a carbon copy of the original. You jumped in the bucket with 100,000, a million rappers. Everybody rapping the same cadence now. Until somebody pop out with a new sound.
Right. So it's safe to say that being in competition with anybody is not where the money is. That's not where the gold is. You need to be authentically you.
You got to be 100% organically new. Something that we never heard before, something that's crazy, something that's just totally different than the norm which you regularly hearing. You can hear 8 songs on the radio and it sound like the same artist.
Right.
So who wants to keep hearing the same song, the same cadences all the time? That's why I do more R&B than rap anyway, because I'm creating something that I'm bringing something back that's missing. Love. Right. Love, meaningful. Nobody, like Pimp C said, nothing's coming out with social commentary. Everybody's talking about the drugs and doing the drug, but you're not saying the outcome of doing drugs. What's the outcome?
Right. And that's exactly what I'm doing when I get on stages, when I'm talking to people. I'm getting real naked and transparent because I was in the drug game. I was in the drug game deep. I did them and I sold them and I'm telling the adverse effects, the long-term effects, like what really happens when you get involved in that shit, because it's not glamorous like you're making it seem.
Like I said, we're selling drugs these days and time. You got to be the dumbest on the planet. You got to be. It's special, kind of stupid, because it's nothing. You see, I know you want some money. Create something to make money legally. You have a brain. You have a specific gift. The universe gave everybody a specific gift. And some people multiple specific gifts.
Right.
But if you can't manifest that gift about yourself and give it to the universe, it ain't gonna give it back to you.
Right. I think a lot of things that are going on right now is, you know, people not being in tune with their intuition and not being able to hear from God and not being able to notice.
They don't even remember their dreams enough to guide themselves.
Right. So what it seems like is happening to me is a lot of people are looking, they find somebody who got something going for themselves. And they playing copycat. Whatever he did, I'm going to do it.
Exactly. And they try blueprint, and I tell artists time and time again, that blueprint that worked for that artist is not your blueprint. Mm-hmm. Find your blueprint and work your blueprint. It may take time, more time.
Right. But, and that's what I'm doing here with the 13 Degrees of Gold, with this podcast and my business. I am trying to help people awaken their gifts. I'm showing people different modalities to heal how to use the law of attraction, how to use the universal laws. Because once you learn the universal laws, you can beat the game of life. You can play the game the way it's supposed to be played, right?
I'm gonna tell you something so real that I didn't believe in none of this stuff early in my coming up, but I got specific, when I tell you dead on specific stuff that was going on in my life, I went meet this woman named Miss Hobby. Miss Hobby was almost 100 years old. I'm talking about smoke like a train, white lady in Louisiana. Right. She was like, she'd sit on the highway going to New Iberia, Louisiana. So my parents said, you know what? You got something on you. Because I couldn't shake my little boy's mama for nothing in the world. This woman could be kissing a man in front of me, and I'm thinking, and she said that's her cousin, that was her cousin. If that woman told me the sky was purple, I'm trying to find a purple spot in the sky.
Right.
So I went to see Miss Hobby. And when I tell you that when I found out they got people that can see, that's channelers and got that gift, I never thought in my wildest dreams. I said, Miss Hobby, how you can do that? She said, I flip a card and a window open. I can't tell you the people. I can describe them. And I could tell you it was this, that, and the third. But I can tell you, man, every time I went by me, I don't want to know no death. How can I maneuver in this world to make me great?
Yeah.
And she said, prayer, meditation, positivity. And she told me, I see your name in lights. I see your name in lights. I see you so successful with this, with she said, with the black and white keys, that the piano. She said that. She said it way before I even had hits. She told me, stay focused. Focus on everything. Put all your body and soul into that. And I did it. And next thing you know, hit record after hit record after hit record, and just placement after placement, TV stuff now. So it's like, now I done graduated from doing the records. Now I'm doing more TV stuff than anything else.
Right. I remember when we were sitting in the studio and you got that deal with all those commercials, Coca-Cola, Nissan, Fox, everything. You making samples for shows I watch. I'm like, hold up.
I just did SNL.
Wow, that's so big. I'm so happy for you. Congratulations. That's so amazing.
It's on my SoundCloud. The track is called I Love You. And if you go to SNL on YouTube, just type up Magic Mirror. And when Chadwick Boseman was dancing like R. Kelly, the track that's playing in the background, I did that track.
Wow. So amazing. You guys go look up Kojak on SoundCloud. His name on SoundCloud is Jackpot Beats.
Yeah.
Right?
That's correct. Yes.
Kojak, what is it that you do now? How can people work with you now? How can people get in touch with you? Shout out all your tags and links. Let them know any specials you got going on. What are you doing with the people now?
Well, I'm open to work with any new artists. You don't have to have the $1 million budget, the $1,000 budget. Just come humble and come when you want to work, and let's work. I don't mind helping anybody, because this music is for everybody. I'm not going to turn down people that's coming halfway. You can reach me at Kojak, KOJACK2K on Instagram. It's Jackpot Beats on SoundCloud. It's Kojak Charles on Facebook. You know, just reach out. Just reach out to me, and we could chop up game. If you want to hear some music, you want to get some music done, I don't mind helping anybody that's genuine, that have your money together. You can't get nothing for free. Because life ain't free. This is free. Right. This the only thing you're going to get free is game.
Right.
How to maneuver in this music industry.
Right. And I can tell you guys firsthand, at the time when I met Kojak, I had 4 kids. I was living with my mom and I was struggling, but I had a little money and I came with what I had and an open heart, and this man worked with me. I think I have 6 Kojak Charles Beats.
Yep.
That I still need to do something with. But I got him. I came with my money, and he respected.
this woman had kids, and I knew this woman had a dream, and was, and I seen the transformation from what she was to who she is now, and became like, it's like watching a caterpillar come to a monarch butterfly.
Wow.
It's like, wow. And she glowing. When you see it, she glows. So you know she's doing something right.
Thank you. That's so sweet. Thank you. Don't make me cry on this podcast, Kojak. Thank you so much. I appreciate all the love.
They roses while they're alive. You doing what you're supposed to do. Compared to what you was before, that's a learning curve you went through. You went through that learning curve. You did everything that wasn't positive and nothing was going right in your life until you started doing right and getting your chakras in line and knowing yourself. And look where you're going now. Look what you're doing now.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Yes, I wake up every morning and I just ask God to use me as an instrument. How can I be of service to the people? Because that's my greatest fulfillment. Helping other people and that's, do what I'm doing.
And that's mine also, through music. I can't help you no other way but music. I have so many tracks that nobody heard that I just got keepsake. But God tell me, my spirit tell me, get that track to somebody for whatever, $200 or whatever. Whatever you got, what you got? Because you plant seeds and watch them grow, because I don't know who's going to make the next hit. Because I can work with the Rick Rosses and all these different people, but when I'm around those people, it's always a party. It's always drugs. No business being taken place. It's all about a party and being around.
Right.
You know, I have relationships with all these people. When I see them, they see me, what's up, Jack? Everything good, man. I need some heat. They'll say these things, but I know sometimes it's not genuine.
Right,
but that's the music industry. You only hot to them when you hot. If you're not hot, they're not paying no attention to you. Now make a hit, I guarantee you, my phone will be blowing up.
Right,
but these are the same people. Never shit on the people that's going up with you, because when you gotta go down, you're gonna see them same people going down.
Right, definitely. So y'all heard it from the man himself. Come with an open heart. Come with some originality. Come with some money. It's all about the energy exchange. He's not finna charge you an arm and a leg, but it's the energy exchange. You gotta show the universe that you're serious about your craft. You gotta take a risk and take a bet on yourself. Get focused and stay focused on what it is you wanna do. Law of attraction is real, you guys. Kojak, thank you so much for coming on the show and doing this for me.
It's not a problem at all.
You guys, make sure you hit him up. He put his links out. You guys can also find him through my social media. I will tag him and post this episode. Kojak, you have been great. Guys, if you guys have any questions, if you don't know how to reach him, you guys can email me at 13degreesofgold@gmail.com, and I will give him the message. You guys, he is located in Houston, Texas. So if you are in Houston or you plan on going to Houston, he can come work with you. But hey, if your price is right, I'm pretty sure he'll fly out and come meet you wherever you at.
Wherever you at.
He the world traveler. So again, thank you for being on the show, Kojak. You guys have been great. Until next time, peace.